There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-6040. Ladies and gentlemen, it's now my great pleasure to present one of the truly most brilliantly creative men of our times. In terms of the media, what they used to call comedy, I'm not sure what comedy is anymore, but this man, Mr. John Barber, is one of a kind. He is a giant, and there will be nobody to replace him someday when he decides to move off of this shithole. Oh, I'm sorry, John. Terrible. Terrible. Welcome back, my friend.
Oh, Jeff, first of all, I'm not a giant. I'm only 5'7". And I must tell you, I just love being on your show. I'm sorry I missed it last month. There was so much going on. And I'm especially pleased because I get to talk to an audience that's a lot larger than the group, the 10 disciples that have been created on my Facebook page. It's a group of 10. And
10?
They did it months ago. And they call me JG, which is short for Johnny Genius. So I really appreciate that. And I do love just being with you. And I think what we should do now is we should concentrate on the three L's. The most important letter in the world is L, and we should concentrate on the three of them that are the most important. And do you know what they are?
The three L's?
Yes, the three L's.
Love.
Well, that would be the fourth one. Bless your heart for thinking about that. But that would be the fourth one. So
love,
maybe it's
literacy.
No.
Licentiousness.
That would be the fifth one, because that's how nature designed us. No, the three L's are the most important, especially nowadays, are laughter, learning, and life. And do you want to know why in America that laughter is the best medicine?
No, but it does have a very salutary effect on the human physiology. That's true.
That's very true, and that's proven. But you know why it's the best medicine, especially in America?
No, there's, why?
There's no copay. Brum, brum. Oh, God. Honestly, I am so delighted to hear. You know, there is only one Earth Day in America shows us how screwed up you called it a shithole. There's only one Earth Day.
I only did that because Donald Trump used that term, didn't he?
I'm going to get to Agent Orange in a minute. the reason I bring that up is because there's one day to sort of treasure and value the Earth and 364 of them to salvage it and pollute it. And there's only one Halloween. But God, now every day in America should be Halloween. But there would be trick-or-treat. But in America, there'd be no more treats anymore. It's all tricks.
It's all
tricks. I must tell you, America's melting pot has melted.
Yes, well said.
I was delighted to hear that you and Dean, I'm glad I'm on the show when Dean's on the show, because sometimes I think I'm the only one that talks about the things that Dean touches on. And the fact that you guys were talking about America's sickening preoccupation with dissing the Soviet Union and Putin. Yeah. Yeah. 4 months ago, if I'd known that you guys were going to be talking about that, I would have dragged out this YouTube, which has gotten 1,000 hits. And 4 months ago, I said, it's titled, The U.S. Should Just Shut Up About the Ukraine. So if you go to my site, johnbobbersworld.com, that you could find it. But you know, the other one who warned me in 1981 about the fact that America was going to continue to diss the Soviet Union. You know, in the 1950s, Khrushchev himself said, you know, when he was banging his shoe at the League of Nations or whatever they call that anymore. But that's how old I am. I remember.
I think it was the United Nations.
I'm so old I could remember when Mount Rushmore was just a mountain and when the Dead Sea was just sick. So, Khrushchev banging a shoe.
For our younger listeners, this is the truth. Khrushchev was the boss of the Soviet Union. He went to the United Nations. He reached and he took his shoe off and he pounded the rostrum with it. This is a true story for you younger people.
He said the Soviet Union does not need nuclear bombs to attack the United States because you are falling apart all on your own. And he's so right. And I got to get to a lot of other stuff that is so obvious about this, you know. And one of the reasons, aside from being back on your show, that you were talking about the medical, you were talking about governmental mistakes. We all know that they all blunder, right? And I no longer write on Facebook. You know, I used to write the best jokes about Biden and Trump that anybody ever wrote, better than Saturday Night Live, Main Street Media, late night shows. They're all humorless now. But that's the one area I don't want to get into, because people don't have a sense of humor about their politics anymore. But I am.
No, they should be. They should be doubled over laughing at it. It's black humor, but they should still be laughing at it.
You're absolutely. Because I remember when I was on the Tonight Show with Sinatra, and I said, you know, comedians don't have to write jokes attacking politicians anymore. All you have to do is quote them. And it got an ovation. And it's just the same today. But if you say that about something Biden says or something Trump says, they absolutely go nuts. But I'm going to touch on a lot of things about that later on. But one of the reasons that I'm pumped is my son just bought his very first home, he and his wife. Yes, Christopher. For the 25 years he lived in Los Angeles, he and his wife had to rent double apartments there. And Christopher has now become co-executive producer and one of the lead writers on the renewed and Criminal Minds, which is going to be on Paramount Plus. And his wife, I like to call her doctor, she was a psychiatrist. She is so smart. She has a clinic that she'll never go broke because she treats people addicted to legalized drugs in Hollywood, of all places.
Oh, God. So that's funny.
They got their first home. And I remember, you know, the truth is, I had spent $500,000 trying to get my son on the old, on the professional golf tour. So honest to God, I could quit this horrible business that I was in and just spend the rest of my life carrying a bag for my son. I just adored him. But when he realized he couldn't putt, and he kept a journal about his travels, which is so good. So he went to Hollywood on his own, and I couldn't help him because nobody wanted the critic John Barber back in town. And by the way, I have two reviews I want to read to you a little later. I know you liked my reviews, but I found two things that people will absolutely love, especially people like you and Dean. One is like three paragraphs, one's just a paragraph, but with your permission, I'd like to read it later. So anyway, when my son went to town, I told, and he started just as a gopher, going for coffee and going for donuts. I said, son, you're one of three geniuses that I know, and you're going to do very well in that bread and circuses business. And he giggled. And I said to him, I don't care how long it takes you, don't you ever leave the bread and circuses business. The Roman Empire took 327 years to collapse. It's only going to take America 227 years, and we need all the bread and circuses we can get. So he's now in the 1%. My son is in the 1%, but thank God it's the bread and circuses part of it, and not the government and actual media department. And the sad thing is, in America today, we have less bread and fewer real services. So
yes, indeed. Well, I hope that their home is everything they want it to be. They deserve it. That's a long time to do a double apartment. My God.
Well, I had the greatest apartment. You know, the Los Feliz area in Los Angeles is just magnificent. Yeah. That's where Cecil B. DeMille lived. And they had their apartments just a couple of blocks away. But everything in America is getting tackier and tackier. So they moved farther away. It was a very expensive house. I don't want to tell you the price of it because it's almost embarrassing. But they could pay for it, and they got it. So that makes me happy. And I told them again, I tell them every time I hug or kiss my son, I say, you know, if there's such a thing as reincarnation, Christopher, I want to come back as you, because you're the greatest mother and father in the world, which is indeed true. Oh, my God, what a blessing he is, and definitely what a blessing Sarita is. You know.
Well, so that beautiful woman sitting across the room from you listening to this, yes. And boy, can she sing. Oh, what a voice.
And she still can. She has the greatest speaking voice I ever heard still. She hasn't got a line on her face or her body. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. But you guys were talking earlier, I think you mentioned about the number of deaths from those people who had been taking the shots. Yeah. Well, 80,000 people, as I said, died from medical mistakes in hospitals while they were in hospitals. I got the two Pfizer shots in August because I was about to cross the border and go into Canada, and they had a lot of wonderful stuff in media all lined up for me, and I thought, wow, my God, if I make Your Mother's Not a Virgin a bestseller in Canada, I could bring it down as such into the United States, but they closed the border because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got the shots, I think they made a mistake. You know what I think they gave me?
What?
Adrenaline. I haven't been able to shut up since.
Oh, God. See, okay, here, let me just put this little thing on the table. Comedy, humor, and laughter, of course, which is the dessert, is almost gone. It's just almost gone.
No, it's gone from the mainstream. I got to tell you something. It hasn't gone from the people. I'm going to tell you something I got today. Okay, it's from the policeman, detective, mm-hmm. 27 years in Las Vegas. You know that Pelosi's husband was attacked with a hammer or something in his house?
Yes.
It's in the news today, right? Okay, yes. Well, they made an artist sketch of the attacker. And my friend, who's the detective, sent it to me. And he said, keep your eye out for this person because that's the attacker. It was Nancy.
See, that's cute.
It doesn't take much,
but John's a genius at it, and these are little one-liners, and they're brilliant. Too funny.
Okay, yeah. So now I'm gonna tell. Speaking of humor,
that's for you.
And that, you know, I got hundreds of these, and I'm sorry. But this one popped up. It's from another person isolated out there by themselves who likes to write jokes to me and get my opinion because they don't like anything on television. They have nobody they can write to. They can't even go to a night school. They can't go to a university where there's a comedy class. So they sent me this material. And this is written by a lady who lives in Switzerland, and she's very, very wealthy, so I'm going to read it to you. All set?
Mm-hmm. Ready to go.
She visits here once in a while, and I think she might be in love with Johnny, but she sent me this, and she said, Johnny, a Las Vegas cabbie picks up a nun. The cab driver stares at her. She asks him, why he's staring? And he said, I've always had a fantasy to kiss a nun. She says quickly, I'll kiss you if you're single and Catholic. And the cab driver says right away, I'm both. The nun says, pull into the alley. The nun then kisses him in a way that would make a hooker blush. Back in the cab, though, the driver starts crying. I lied. I'm married and I'm Jewish. And the nun says, quickly, that's okay, my name's Kevin and I'm on my way to a Halloween party.
Cute.
Anything else you'd like to kiss?
That's good.
Oh, listen, it is absolutely all over the place. But in any event, I have a number of things that I want to talk to you about. I don't know quite where to begin because there is so much. But maybe quickly, you know, that has been proven, Jeff, in the 30s, the rise of criminality when prohibition was imposed on Americans. And then for decades, three or four decades in America, we had these riots over abortion at abortion clinics and family planning clinics. And then this past couple of weeks in Iran, over thousands of men and women demonstrating over the business of the death of a woman who wore a hairdress.
Yeah.
And what it proves, Jeff, is that the government, no government or any religion, can legislate against the human natural pursuit of pleasure. And that's all it is. And you know that even though you hear governments and religions talking about one nation under God, they do not want one nation under God. They want one nation under control. And that's exactly what it is that they have done to us. You know, Jeff, I think, honestly, if I had, I get asked all the time, but where does all this talent come from? Pardon me, people do ask me that because I've done so many things, you know, a comic and a critic and a filmmaker and host and all that kind of stuff. It was just desperation to stay alive and get a job. But if I do have a main talent, quite honestly, it is seeing the obvious and then stretching it to its obvious conclusion. Now, that may sound really, really arrogant and egomaniacal of me, but it started when I was six. And I don't know if I ever told you this story, but we were learning to read. And one of the first things we learned to read was Hans Christian Andersen's tale about the young boy saying, "The emperor has no clothing." And so the teacher expounds on how the truth can come out of the mouths of babes. And I think she even quotes the Bible about the truth coming from the mouths of babes. So I raised my hand and she said, "Johnny?" And I said, "Well, Miss Blackov, it's true that the emperor's wearing no clothes. Isn't it obvious if he's doing so, he should be arrested for indecent exposure?" Now, where does a six-year-old come with that? It's like Wagner at five playing the piano. I don't.
Know. That's true, and that's a gift.
She pointed at me and says that she yelled, "Johnny, sit down!" And the class booed me, like I was out of line. And that happened to me all my life, especially when I became a critic in Los Angeles. But there are a few things that I want to talk to you about.
Well, let me say one thing. Hold on. Don't lose your place like you could. No, not going to happen. When I was in college and, you know, we would occasionally inhale. And one of the best things we waited for were your reviews. And for different reasons. I would watch just by myself. Because I recognized an incredibly rare wit with wisdom. You don't find that combination. It just doesn't happen. And I recognize it, and I would sit there inhaling or otherwise, and I based my life around your reviews. I would never miss them.
Oh,
I only wish they were on every day.
Oh, well, I don't do them anymore. So what I'm going to do, I have a couple of really important things and funny things to talk about. Maybe you want to hear one of my reviews that I wrote. You know, and right now, you know, my son has season tickets to both the Dodgers and the LA Kings, and the Dodgers lost, so they're out of the World Series. And the World Series are going to be coming up. And you want to know something? If America's pastime, baseball, was anything like our elections, the two worst teams would be playing.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, it hurts. And then listen, 100 years ago, Mark Twain said it best: if voting made a difference, they wouldn't let us do it. I have time. I have time to do the two reviews because I think you will absolutely love them. But you know, COVID forced a lot of us to be left alone.
Yes.
And I got to tell you something, Jeff. If you have been left alone, you may not know it, but you're in the best company you ever had. And
hopefully.
Well, but I'm telling you, the greatest discoveries in history are the things you discover in your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me. And the best advice, I don't give advice. And one of the best things that ever happened to me is I have forgotten or ignored every bit of advice ever given me. I had to learn to trust my instincts. Now I'm going to tell you about my instincts in seeing the obvious.
Okay.
And there are two things. about the obvious. I'll start with this. Before Trump, and I said to you, I don't want to do jokes about Trump, or I don't want to do any more jokes about Biden because I don't want to attack the emotionally and mentally handicapped. So I don't want if I was going to write a joke about Trump, yeah. Trump would be the human version of brain-eating bacteria. I'm going to get to the business that you and Dean touched on so magnificently about the violence in America. And I'm going to tell you simply what it is and where it stems and how it could end. And it is all so patently obvious to a 6 or 8 year old boy. And I am still that 6 year old boy. Up until the rise of Trump in this country, all violence was organized. In the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you had thousands and thousands of organized violent demonstrators, first in the 60s and 70s, for and against the Vietnam War, for and against voting rights for the colored. You remembered them all very, very well. Then you had those clashes constantly over abortion and right to lifers. That's all organized violence, except for the fake wars like the one in the Ukraine. All organized violence has disappeared, and it's become random. Ever since Donald Trump stood on television and said, I could shoot somebody in Fifth Avenue, nobody would bother. And that's where it is. Now, I'm going to be like Socrates or Aristotle and teach by asking a couple of questions. Mm. Okay, and this is it. Jeff, who murdered the 6 people at the Sharon Tate home?
Oh, Manson ordered the murders.
He did not order the murders.
Well, that's what the media says, but that,
he did
you
not,
take it for okay. what it was. Okay, it was, let me think. It okay. was Squeaky Fromm, Tex, Charles now, Tex.
You're huh? right with that one. Tex Watson.
Stan. Tex Watson. Was
okay,
it Squeaky?
Yes, Squeaky okay. Fromm. Now, listen, Tex Watson stabbed Sharon Tate 47 times and used her blood to write Death to the Pigs on the Wall or something like that. Mm. They had a hard time getting him extradited from Texas. You know why? He was a military asset. He was, May Brussels proved that he was a military asset. Listen, kids who smoke dope don't climb telephone poles to cut wires. The military does that. And it was all okay, so now, did you ever see Charlie Manson on television or on radio or anywhere or standing on a street corner saying, we got to kill the Sharon Tates and the Tates and Biancas of the world? No. And then there was a sheriff who came forward twice in Los Angeles and said, you know, because they had a lot of guns and stuff on the Spahn Ranch that they were shooting off and they were drinking stuff and smoking dope. And the neighbors complained all the time and called the cops. And twice this sheriff went with a patrol to arrest them and tell them to shut up and was ordered by his superiors not to touch Charlie Manson. And when he got out of prison, he was given credit cards and a truck or a van or something. And nobody wanted to trace where the credit cards came from because then you would know who financed them. Now, what happened to Tex Watson? Of course, they eventually get him. And the jury, the first jury, was hung because there was so much bullshit I mean, it was Nixon went on television and said Manson's a killer. He hadn't even had a trial.
Oh, headline. Manson. No, no. Here. Headline. Los Angeles Times.
Yeah.
Manson guilty. Nixon declares. Remember that?
Yes, I remember it well. And you know, that's, I had no interest in that kind of stuff, but I was living there at the time. I told my wife that's so horrible. But the first news reports that news reporters were talking about was the fact that wires were cut and it looked like a military operation. For 2 days, you heard that on the news and you never heard it again. And they were shut up. And that's the truth. And Mae Brussel has the most brilliant hour. If you search Mae Brussel as Manson as Patsy, it's brilliant. But what, why I bring it up is this. You just had January 6th here, which was the Republicans' December 7th. Okay. And there were three deaths. And one of them could simply be called a murder. And it was a murder. And one of the guys was sentenced to 7.5 years, just 7.5 years today for what he did.
Okay.
But you have Donald Trump on camera ordering and asking them to go strongly to the Senate and fight for their rights and fight to get their country back. Well, that's what they did. Now, if Trump is on camera, you shouldn't be just sending somebody who helps murder somebody 7.5 years. That's a guy on camera giving the orders. No doubt about it. But you know why they don't arrest him? Because he keeps the House divided. And when you keep a House divided, you keep them fighting one another. And you keep the 10 families
doing his job
in this country.
You got it. Yeah.
You keep them in charge of everything. Now, I didn't mean to bring it up because it's such a dark subject, but it is so true. And I have people. I did a great, my last great joke I did about Donald Trump, I won't even repeat. But, you know, if you go to my site, this is 2 years old. It's a brilliant 19-minute piece of nothing but facts. And only the last line is an opinion of mine based on those facts. And it's had a couple of thousand views. And it's called, Why Do People Still Love Trump? And you go to that, and I send it, some people who get angry, and they unfriend me immediately. I've said it a million times. You can lead people to truth. You can't make them think. And America,
that's a wonderful line. Yes.
They've got 72 million Americans who've been led to truth but can't think. Never mind Joe Biden. Okay, people, Biden only got in because he wasn't Trump. Okay? And Trump got in only because he wasn't Hillary. And Trump got in because of Alex Jones. He was on Alex Jones three times when Alex had a bigger show than Joe Rogan has now. Now we get down to some of the nitty-gritty about this stuff. Because the only thing that got Donald Trump out of the headlines for the last 4 or 5 years, I mean, you'd think people would be bored with listening to a guy who just talks about himself. He doesn't talk about any causes, nothing. He only talks about Donald Trump. Me, 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 look what's happened to me. But in any event, hold on, I'm kind of losing where I'm going. I don't want to lose where I'm going. Oh, don't lose it, Johnny. Don't lose it. I'm getting so excited when I get to talk to you about. Okay, so, Jesus.
You got it.
Well, oh, my God. What was I going to say about Trump and Biden? Jeez, it's so important. God darn it. It's slipping.
Well, you had it. No, you had it there. You were on a roll, and you're almost, all right.
Well,
just remember,
you know,
it's like the golf ball falling off the tee. Pick it up, put it back up on the tee.
Well, I keep thinking about, you know, how God or nature designed us nature and God designed us to speak less and listen more. That's why he or she gave us two ears and one mouth to shut up. I should have two mouths and one ear. It's true. Oh, my God. Alex Jones finally got Trump off of the headlines because a court ordered the pay nearly $1 billion to Sandy Hook families, okay? So what I did is I went to every show of mainstream media, all the popular internet shows, and waited 2 days. And you know who I was waiting for and what I was waiting for? I was waiting for some smart producer to say, who can talk the best about Alex Jones? Who knew him the best? Well, you never know anybody well, Jeff.
Until you divorce them.
Unless you sleep with them or unless you're in business with them. And yep. His wife, Kelly.
I saw that. I watched the whole interview. It was fantastic. I wrote you.
Yes. Okay. Now listen to this. This is what I want to tell you quickly. So I wrote this note admonishing the media, and of course he never showed up. Then I remembered that I had recorded her right after her divorce.
Yeah.
And fortunately that recording was saved and I put it back on the air, but thank you for that, but I got to tell you a little background story. She was absolutely adorable because the untalented or unaware of show business director knew that I, as a former comic like Jack Barr and Johnny Carson, liked to do.
You'll never be a former comic, John.
Oh,
sorry.
But thanks. I always did a 10-minute monologue at the top of the show. So while I'm doing the monologue, he has her picture up. Now, fortunately, she's very attractive and nice to look at. More unfortunately, she was smiling and listening. And I had four people send me the most scurrilous, profane notes. Why didn't I get the fuck to the guests and shut up? But that's because they wanted to hear what she had to say about Alex, which I understand. And I wrote back. I said, well, you missed some important information.
Oh, she dropped she dropped some bombs right toward the end.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you about a couple of them. But during my opening, I reminded these people about Martin Luther King's dream speech.
Right.
There's a basketball player who was offered $250,000 for the type speech, but he won't sell it, even though it doesn't have a word about I have a dream in it. It was typed by Martin Luther King, and he has the typewriter, and he has the speech, and he won't sell it. Do you know how it came about? When Sarita was pregnant, she was like in her 7th month. One of our closest friends was Mahalia Jackson. Wow,
yeah.
Could that lady sing? Okay. She and Sarita were so close. And Mahalia Jackson put her hands on Christopher's tummy, and he said, you're going to have a boy, and he's going to be a brilliant writer. He is going to be a genius. She went out the next day and bought a blue suit so her unborn child would have it if he's a boy. And unfortunately, it was Christopher. And then she told us she was next to Martin when they were in Washington, D.C. with over half of them.
This is a really fascinating story, everyone. Listen carefully. This is good.
Yeah. There are 500,000 people listening. And the applause is so long, there are pauses in there. And not a word or anything about I have a dream. And while they're pausing, Mahalia leans in and said, Martin, why don't you tell them about the dream that you have talked about with us, with me especially? So they came back, and he begins talking about I have a dream. It came from Mahalia Jackson reminding him, which points out to me many, many times, Jeff, that the best things in life do happen by accident. I met Sarita by accident. I got on your show by accident. But, you know, I want to do two quick reviews, if you don't mind.
Oh, please. Yes, okay. No, of course not. Come on. You don't have to ask. Okay. Do them.
This one is important because you will think about this. This needed documentary, now airing on Showtime, is called Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compared. It should be called Sinead O'Connor, Nothing Compared. It should be called Sinead O'Connor, No One Compares. It is an absolute must-watch if you are inspired by amazing talent, graceful courage, and the greater courage of quietly remaining true to one's individuality under the pressures that could kill you or your career. In 100 years, there have only been two individuals, other musical artists, who could stand on stage with Sinead. They were Paul Robeson, the greatest talent political activist America ever produced, a talent destroyed by the FBI, the media, and the growing military-industrial complex that Ike had warned about at Silence JFK. The other is England's John Lennon, a musical intellectual genius who was having a worldwide influence on peace when he too was gunned down, probably by the same sources. But to me, the one who might stand a head taller is Ireland's Sinead O'Connor. She left her birthplace, Ireland, as a late teen for London because since birth, she was abused by her mad mother, not allowed to feel free as a female, by the same religion that drove her mother insane, and a government run by that same church. In London, at 20, she got an offer to do an album if she'd abort her pregnancy. Oh. She turned them down. Uh-huh. Her child, she said, was going to get the love she never did have. She said she loved singing, not success. She did the album, and a year later was one of the biggest stars in the world. And like all stars, received the fame and fortune success dumps on them. It was a fame unsought and surprising to her. And then, like Robeson and Lennon, seeing the brutal injustices in the world, she began to write and perform songs about them, especially war. But it was a song she refused to sing that almost got her killed. Bush had lied us into Iraq. Everyone knew it was more Bush bullshit. At a massive New York concert, she quietly refused to sing our national anthem. All American hell broke loose on her head, more so than when Lennon truthfully said, quote, most people have heard the Beatles and heard Jesus, unquote. How she handles it, even in England, is incredible grace and calmness under pressure. I have only seen such grace under pressure in New Orleans DA Jim Garrison. Lennon and Robeson did not live to see the changes they worked for in America and the world. But Sinead did live to see the massive, massive political, religious, cultural changes she worked forward to and sang about. And now, past middle age, with the most arresting eyes one could ever stare at or stare into, she is still singing in Ireland. Wow. You must watch that documentary. It is unbelievable. Now, on a smaller scale, here is another documentary I stumbled on, and you might appreciate this. This is just a paragraph, and it should be easy to find. Jeff, as you know, there is, first off, You know what the proof is that rap is not music?
Go ahead.
Proof that rap is not music is you can't hum. You can't hum.
You can't hum it?
You can't hum rap. That's why it's not music. I don't even know why it's in the music categories at the Grammys. It is not music.
Oh, I know. Don't get me going on it.
It's poetry set to a beat. That's all it is. You know, it should be the Writers Guild contest or something. And not
it's
the
true.
Grammys.
Well, yeah, I mean, poetry is a stretch in most cases, but yes, I get it. I get it. Okay. It rhymes. I get it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
that's fair.
Here is this very, very, very short review. I was, and this is in spite of Sarita, because you know Sarita, as you pointed out earlier, has this great voice, and she sang for the greatest jazz pianist in America, Old Father Hines, who was part of Satchmo's Louis Armstrong sextet. Anyway. And I told her that she had to watch this, and she absolutely loved it. But for me, Jeff, back to this, I was never much of a jazz fan because I could never quite find the melody line until I watched this two-hour documentary on PBS last week. It is about an 85-year-old black bass player. Ron Carter, the most recorded musician in history, still recording and traveling the world, making sweet music from one of the sweetest souls I have ever seen. Now, Jeff, to me, the bass is not much, okay? I don't pay much attention to it. But musicians do. And, you know, he is in the Book of Records as being the most recorded musician in the world. And they flock to see him because musician lovers know who he is. So not only, Jeff, is it a moving, inspiring history of a man and his music, but a history of America. At one point, when another musician asked, where does that unbelievable sound and music come from? It's more than just from your soul or your instrument. And Carter softly points upwards and says simply, the band leader. One of the things you will learn and love from this documentary called Ron Carter, Searching for the Right Note, is that no matter what your background is, whatever the beginnings in your life, there is no high you cannot reach without a good talent, without a goal, talent, patience, and heart. And Ron Carter has them all. Do not miss this documentary.
Give us the title again. What's the formal title of it?
The show is called Ron Carter, Searching for the Right Note. And okay. Jeff, I have never seen a sweeter human being. Now, the guy is 85. He's 4 years younger than I am. He's a kid compared to me. But when you look at all the stuff he went through as a kid, the persecutions, the dog attacks, your phony arrests and everything. And he does not have a bitter bone in his body. I'm telling you, it's just absolutely and wonderfully, wonderfully remarkable. And then the other thing I'd like to sort of mention, I've gotten to the stage where I like to post things that are very positive and nice or, you know, that can help people or make people chuckle, and I get a lot of that. Oh, yo, back to Kelly Jones. Oh, yes. And thank you for the compliment. But at one, she's on trial. You got custody of the three kids. And she had talked, she had good lawyers. She spent $3 million on the divorce. Yeah, anyway, she talked about his not being home, and sometimes he was cruel. And I asked her, of course, in the interview, did his absence sometime because of being with another woman? And she chuckled gracefully, and she said, yes, one turned out to be a hooker, and she was wearing a Rolex watch. I never got a Rolex watch. So anyway, as we're talking later in the show, and she told me before the show, it, not only was it her idea to do what it was that he did on local access television, he got most of his material from your site. He used to steal freely from your site and put it up as stuff that he had researched.
I know.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay, so well, now the audience knows it if they want to know something about Alex Jones. So in any event, the jury comes in with their verdict, and the jury rules that the children should go to Kelly Jones, the mother, which is where they want to be.
Of course.
And for the first time in that state's history, the judge overruled the jury.
Unbelievable. When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe
the children should go to the father, who is Alex Jones. And she pointed out the judge was a woman. And I said, did you look to see if she was wearing a Rolex watch? And she just howled. Now, you know, how somebody could be that gracious and sweet and still laugh at something after she's gone through all the hell she's gone through?
I don't understand. I went through a child custody thing for 14 years. 14 years, John.
Oh my God.
I know what that woman was feeling. And I was appalled. 14
well, the
years.
The other thing that's startling, Jeff, I put it up and sent it to you. And in 4 days, now most of my stuff gets maybe, the good jokes get a couple of hundred hits. The good Facebook stuff gets maybe 1,000 and a half. Within 4 days, it had 5,000 hits.
Your interview. Yeah.
The interview with Kelly.
Oh, I pushed it.
And it's 4 years old.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That interview is 4 years old.
4 years old. And it got 5,000 hits. Because nobody had her on.
No, she was superb. And that was a remarkable revelation. And some of the things she released about him come as no surprise to me, knowing him as I do.
And then, near the end, she says, you know, the only thing he really left me was a cellar full of unperishable food. Oh, my God. I almost fell off my chair because that's all that guy was selling, that the world's coming to an end and you must buy his food.
It's true.
Oh, my God. So
it was something else.
If you wish to share it with your audience, feel free to do so. You know,
I posted it. It's up on your. It's up. It's up there now.
Look
for John on the left hand side in columnists. You'll see it there.
So this is the last little tidbit before we close. In 77, I guess it was 78, when I was writing for Sinatra, or became his writer because I was writing on Laugh-In. One of the things that I love doing, aside from jokes,